or like me, the time that I tied my kid to a chair.
Nice.
It all made sense. It all made sense when I did it.
But you know, we trust you, Kim.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women.
In a world that forces us to choose between extremes, black and white, red and blue, we believe you have more freedom than you've ever grasped. What if there was another approach to the important topics of your life? Things like sex, race, self-image, even FOMO.
What if there was a third way that both culture and religion missed? This season, we're looking for that elusive third way. The way of grace, of challenge, of growth, the way of Jesus. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women.
Today we are talking family.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one because there is not a listener with us who is not formed by the family that they came from and the family that they currently exist in. Yeah. And today we want to kind of pull apart, what are all the messages that we get about how we should be doing family?
Yep.
So whether you live alone without family directly in your life every day, or whether you live around all your aunts and uncles and your brothers and sisters are on the same street and all their kids are your kids, whatever your family situation, we're going to be talking about the messages that we get about how we should family.
Yep.
And maybe what Jesus has to say about that. So we're going to do that today. And we have a guest. Do you want to introduce our guest?
I would love to, because she, you know what, I say this often. I hope I don't cry, because I cried the other day when I was talking about my friend Kim Botto. So I've known Kim for 7 years. And what I know about her from a professional perspective, she leads all of kids stuff here at Crossroads at our church. And that's from 0 until 18. So anything that has to do with the child, she manages it. And what I've learned to know about her is that she's a fantastic matriarch in her family, that her kids love her and want to hang out with her.
That's amazing.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen.
Let's jump in and define family, because I feel like we all probably have different things that conjures up in our head. Mm-hmm. How do you define family right now? In your life? And who is your family? Why don't you just introduce us to your family?
Well, as far as my family on paper, I have one husband. He's great. And then I have 5 kids. 3 of them are bio. Mm-hmm. And then 2 of them are adopted. We adopted our youngest when she was 10. And then our second youngest daughter when she was 16. Mm. And then we have 7 grandkids. We had 7 grandkids in 3.5 years.
We get a lot of messages in our everyday life about family. And my personal opinion is that most of them go unnoticed. We just pick up this culture of how we're supposed to be doing family in the United States of America in 2019. What do you think the American culture today is telling us about families?
Oh, that families are messed up and that it's all about what's best for you. Which is actually the exact opposite of family. Like, family's about sacrifice, putting others' needs before your own. The typical family is there is no typical family. Mm-hmm. It used to be 30 years ago, there was a typical family.
Right.
And it's not. And there's so many more grandparents raising their kids. There's so many more single moms, kids not living with any parent. So I think culture tells us all kinds of different things. Now, the Bible, you know, the family, that was the first, like, organization that God formed was the family.
Right.
And it's really important. And that's how kids learn about a relationship with God, is through a relationship with their parents. Mm-hmm. That's the closest thing that they have with skin on to what God's going to look like to them. And although we're not perfect, that is a really fertile ground for them to understand the love of a father, to understand grace and forgiveness, discipline in the context of love. So family is super important. And that's why it breaks my heart that there's so many kids that are growing up with no family.
Your experience in student ministry for many years now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in terms of what's going on inside families today and the impact of kind of these messages in our culture? And frankly, the reality of our culture is, there are a lot of homes that get disrupted and that change, and that kids have different families than they did 2 years ago. And there's just a lot of change in their family life. And how do you see that?
I think the biggest thing, out. I mean, research shows us how anxious kids are today. I mean, anxiety is an all-time high. Kids are on all kinds of antidepressants. That is certainly obvious at the nurse's station at camp. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we compare ourselves constantly to other families. Mm-hmm. You know, we see the pretty version on social media, which you guys know that's not the real version of family, right?
Oh, I know.
You understand
sure.
that.
Maybe do I.
And it's so we're competing with something that we simply can't attain because mm-hmm. it's not real. And parents, like the message I always want to give parents is, you are enough. Mm-hmm. You are enough. And, okay, you yelled at your kid today, or like me, the time that I tied my kid to a chair.
Nice.
It all made sense. It all made sense when I did it. But you
we
know,
we trust you, Kim. Nice. We're sure it did make
well,
sense
I
for you.
Well, I told her, if you don't stay seated at the table, I'm going to tie you to the chair. And dang it, she got up.
And you're like, now I got
to do it.
Yes.
That's right. I did that once, not tied Maya to a chair, but she was having a hard time getting dressed in out the door and in the car. I mean, I tried everything. And I said, listen, when the big hand hits the five, if you are not in the car, I'm leaving you. And the big hand hit the five.
Oh, no.
And she was not in the car. And she was probably in the second grade. And I drove off without her. The really funny thing is that I then could not find her when I came back. She had left the house.
Oh, no.
And I ended up calling the police. I couldn't find her.
Oh, no.
Seriously, she was.
So the lesson for that is you drove too far.
Right. You did the right thing.
I drove maybe just back around up the in block. The, yeah. Yeah, it was the crazy, but I did do that.
My gosh.
But we do. But the thing about it is we look at ourselves and then we feel guilty. I felt terrible.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Mark came home. She was tied very loosely. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't. But I'll tell you now, Rachel, I've had conversations about it. It helps her see I wasn't perfect as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
remember that time you tied me to the chair, Mom?
Oh, she says that all. Well, now people, they'll see me around leading kids and they'll go, oh, your mom, she's so. And she goes, I go, yeah, she tied me to a chair when I was a preschooler.
So, Latasha, let's talk about messages that you've experienced from culture. I have a more traditional version of family happening mm-hmm. in my house. But how have you heard culture?
It's interesting because I don't actually know what culture has said because I felt like it was so important for me to form what we found to be valuable in our family. And so an example would be, and I actually don't know if I did this right. I don't know. But up until recently, we probably never had single parent friends. Mm-hmm. We surrounded ourselves with people who were intact, whether it was first or second marriage, but mm-hmm. intact, kind of very traditional. And as a single mom, it's actually not a dig on single moms, or single parents. It is an outward reaction to me knowing how difficult it is and how much I value the fact that we have a village. Mm-hmm. She has been inside a village pretty much all of her life, to include our biological family, mm-hmm. but also people all around us, to include people like Kim, my friend Lynn, like just tons and tons of people who she has access to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so she can pick 5 to 7 people in her phone right now that if she can't get to me, she knows to call those people, period. She just knows.
I think the message that culture is sending that's good is that families can look all different ways. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just heard both of you say, is yeah. your family truly includes all kinds of parts and pieces of your definition because of your life and the people that are in it.
Yeah.
And so I think the good message that I hear coming from culture is family really can look all different mm-hmm. ways. And I think that's A+ right on. I think the other message that I pick up on is what Kim touched briefly on, and I'd love you to say more about this, and that is that we're a collection of individuals who happen to be related, and that our goal is to be individually happy and successful. And I want my kids to feel unique and pursue their unique paths that God has for them. But what I never knew and what I don't think you would ever get from culture is that the family can have an identity as a family mm-hmm. and that the family is and can be a thing that you love and develop mm-hmm. and protect and cultivate, and that it isn't unusual, for instance, in our home for us to say, no, you can't do that because the family.
Mm-hmm.
no, you can't join the competitive trampoline team. It's a real example. Because they compete hours away, multiple weekends, and that's not good for the family.
As you were talking, one of the things I talked about is or thought about as far as family and culture is, and this is important when our kids are younger, is we are not raising our kids till they turn 18. I think that's a message that culture gives you. Mm-hmm. And I remember right before Rachel went away to college, we went out to lunch and ran into a couple parents of friends of hers. Three different parents said something like, oh, yeah, they leave in next month and I'm going to lock the doors or change the keys. I mean, another one said, yeah, I'm going to redo a room. I can't wait to get that room back. And after the third time, I remember we were sitting at York Street Cafe and Rachel said, that's not how you feel at all, is it? And I said, no. And, you know, toddler years are hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're physically exhausting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're sleep deprived until I think the kids in second grade, new research has shown. But the fruit of that hard work is amazing relationships with our adult kids. Mm-hmm. And if we have in our head that we're parenting until they're 18, then we're going to miss out on that. Mm-hmm. And also, it's like, oh, once they turn 18, they need to be independent. And I'm like,
do they?
I don't think so. I mean, our kids all pay their own bills. They're all supporting themselves. But there are times when things happen in their lives where they need emotional support. Mm-hmm. Or with our youngest son, they got married. And gosh, 3 or 4 months after they got married, they got pregnant. And they had a baby at 24 weeks. And that was super stressful. So in their first year of marriage, here they are trying to figure out, you know, who you know, cleaning up their spit in the from their toothpaste in the bowl. And they're having this baby that the doctors are saying isn't going to live. So they moved in with us in October. And it has been the most amazing, awesome thing ever. And that's, I believe, that is fruit from looking at a relationship with our kids as long term. And not just till they're 18.
And that for sure is not a message that you get from the American culture.
I can't even tell you. When we told people his company relocated him up to Cincinnati and they could be closer to children's and closer to family, and I would say to people, yeah, they're going to move in with us. The faces I got, they're like, oh my gosh, oh, for how long? And it has been the biggest blessing. They've been, I guess, what, like 6 months. They're not going to move there. They're not going to live in there forever. Mm-hmm. But it's been a great help to them. And it's just been awesome to us. How many mother-in-laws get the opportunity to live under the same roof with their daughter-in-law? Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Okay, so let's make a left turn and talk about what are the messages that you have gotten over your lifetime or that you think are common, either or, in religious circles. Mm. Kim, why don't you start off? What do you make of that?
In some circles, it's the spare the rod and spoil the child. Mm-hmm. You must discipline. You must keep your kids under control at all times. I think it's that comparison, too. Mm-hmm. If my kid's acting out, it's a poor reflection on me. Mm. I wish I'd known a lot earlier that, you know what, some people might think it's a poor reflection on me. And you know what? I don't really care what you think. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not trying to get my kid to comply in the moment and go into this house without having a fit on the front yard where the police were actually called. True story. what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build a long-term relationship with them and I'm trying to develop their character.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we get too caught up in the discipline piece. Discipline is really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, discipline's important. We must discipline, but we have to do it in the context of grace and love.
Mm-hmm. Latasha, what about you?
I remember going to my pastor and telling him that I was pregnant. And I remember him saying, oh, I didn't even know that you were dating anybody. And he said to me, back in the old day, we would have you stand up in front of the church and tell them that you've sinned. He said, but I'm not going to do that. What it did say to me is that there are some people who I should just hide from. I should hide my situation from. Mm. So for a long time at that particular church, Maya's dad and I, when we found out that we were pregnant, he proposed twice. So he literally gave me two rings. And I used to see pregnant women who were married, they would wear their ring on their necklace when their fingers got too big. Mm-hmm. And so when I got big and I was showing, I actually put a ring on my neck so that people wouldn't think that mm-hmm. I wasn't, like I was trying to hide in plain sight. And so I would say that what church had said to me was that I was wrong. There was some shame around being a single mother. I should probably lay low for a little bit.
That's a very interesting combo that you would replay that story after we said the reality of our culture is family looks about every way you could That's possibly right. imagine. Right. Mm-hmm. And if religion, if that is a common thought, that religion makes me ashamed if I don't fit the exact mold of a nuclear family. Well, gosh, then it's driving people away from Christ all
For
the time.
Sure.
The real message of Jesus does not bring you shame.
No.
Or my kid, because I probably right. cared far more about right. her
yes.
than I did about me.
Yes.
So I would be fine to take the shame, but there was not a scenario in which I would allow her to be shamed in any way, shape, or form.
And do you feel like, yes, you paid a dear consequence for sex outside of marriage.
Sure.
Also, God doesn't shame you for that. He doesn't push you away from yep. him for that. If anything, he pulls you into yep. a community, which has, again, been such a beautiful, mm-hmm. like, redeeming story. He
it
pulls
gives
you
the
into
most
a community.
Amazing gift that
yes.
you could sure. ever have.
He gives you Maya. Yeah. He creates a family out of nothing. That's what Jesus does when he gets involved in people's lives.
And
it's
he
amazing.
Redeems it. And he has constantly and consistently redeemed my idea of family to where I actually call the little two people in my family. I used to not use those words.
For you and Maya,
mm-hmm.
for your household.
I would not even use those words. And now I am very proud to say my family, because what I know for sure is that God continues to redeem what family looks like in our household. Mm-hmm. It is not the story that I want for her to play out. I just don't want it. I know how difficult it is. God has been so gracious with us as it relates to like resources. I've never been financially in a bind to raise Maya, but I wish that were the only kind of segment in raising a kid. There's so many other things, and I understand the value of having a partner, a male in the house to help push
yes,
this person along,
sure.
which is why I'm so grateful for my dad. I'm grateful for her mm-hmm. dad. Her dad is a very big part of her life. I'm grateful for I say in air quotes, uncles who come around yeah. and who are like, hey, do I need to have a conversation with you? He continues to redeem this in a way that I couldn't have played out
yeah.
ever.
Well, okay, so let's talk about broken family relationships for a minute, because that is an amazing quality of Jesus, is the ability to redeem, the hope that maybe there could be something new in the future.
Yep.
We're sitting here with at least some versions of family mm-hmm. that are positive. Not all versions of family in my life are positive. It depends on who I'm going to include in that
yeah.
word.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
There are other conversations we could have had. Most people listening are going to have some angle of
Absolutely.
Family that doesn't feel good to them, that hasn't been a positive experience for them. Where do you go? It feels like such a huge thing. What do you do?
I mean, I think first, I mean, communication is the heart of it. If we feel hurt by our family or feel that they have done something offensive to us, we have to talk to them about it. And I think too often people have this guilt because they feel like if they're not having Christmas with all of their extended family, mm-hmm. then something's wrong with them. A scripture that I really like is Romans 12:18, where it says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone and don't repay evil for evil. Be honorable. So that's what we do. We're honorable. We forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But forgiveness doesn't mean that I'm going to have you over for my dinner.
That's right.
You still might not come to my family breakfast,
yeah.
But I forgive you.
That's great. I love what you said about forgiveness, because what I have thought about the best gift that I could give Maya was the ability to forgive, because her dad and I have certainly done our fair share of things to warrant forgiveness. And so we work hard on forgiveness at our house.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it a lot. Maybe not as often as I used to, but I used to apologize all the time just because I just wanted her to get into the rhythm mm-hmm. of saying, I forgive you. And if I have any kind of joy on the back end of this 17, 18 year mm-hmm. relationship with Maya and her father and their family, whom I love, I mean, they'll be here mm-hmm. in a couple of months for her graduation that I speak to every weekend, that she talks to on a regular basis as well. The only thing that I can do is forgive myself for doing things that I probably should not have done inside and outside of the context of Maya and her dad's our relationship, but also forgiving him for like there's just a lot of forgiveness mm-hmm. that needs to happen. And so I know it sounds really super easy and pithy. Just forgive. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it is. I'm saying that on the back end of 18 years worth of
it's hard.
I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive me. I forgive him. I forgive them. Like,
because it's not just saying it.
No,
it's saying it and walking it out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This is hard for me to listen to because I know that I've been wrong a lot where my family of origin is concerned. I also struggle with not ever being with them. How do you have a relationship where you can continuously forgive? And I understand I can forgive even if I'm not with them and that kind of stuff. I get that. But ideally, what I hear you saying is as that takes place in the context of relationship, and we don't have
not necessarily
close relationship. Like I'm not even with my brothers more than once. I would say once a year is a lot for me to see either one of them.
Forgiveness happens and you don't even have communication with that person mm-hmm. as you forgive them and pull out all those roots of bitterness you might mm-hmm. have towards them.
Yeah. I tell Maya that the forgiveness is rarely about the other person. It is all about you.
That's right.
It's all about you. It has nothing to do with Maya's dad or it has everything to do with me.
Yes.
The more that I walk towards forgiveness, the more that I wake up and say, you know what? God, I forgive. I just, whatever the thing is, he, she, those are your kids, not my kids. I will tell you, ain't none of it easy. It's super hurtful to start opening yourself up and talking about the things that you forgive. I forgive Maya's dad for not being here. I forgive him every time that I get a phone call from the school and I have to go pick her up. I forgive him for, he's married. I forgive him. It has nothing mm-hmm. to do with him. It has everything mm-hmm. to do with me. Yeah. The moment that I've released that, the moment that I've opened myself up in that space is where I personally have seen great fruit just in my life.
Yep.
I know what you're saying is right. It is. I know. I know that. I'm just, as I'm listening to your words, I'm going, what does that look like for me?
Mm.
And is every story of every family ultimately a story of forgiveness?
I think all relationships, forgiveness is involved. And it's also not feeling guilt and shame over where your family is right now. Mm-hmm. And it may be asking for forgiveness for yourself.
Yeah. It's easy to recreate with Bill, you know, who's the partner of my choosing mm-hmm. and my best friend and our four kids that we adore. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to recreate something there and ignore mm-hmm. things that come before.
I bet it comes back, though. Somehow, I just don't believe that it's completely ignorable.
It's not.
The things that I've tried to ignore
Absolutely.
And push down seem to come up some kind of way in the mm-hmm. damnedest times.
It's like whack-a-mole.
That's right.
It reminds me of the game whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
And like you whack it over here and then it disappears for a second and pops up over there.
Yeah.
I totally know you're right. It's just, it is a sticky point between me and God lately mm-hmm. because I don't feel like I know how to be in my extended family right now. I know how to be in my home. I know how to be with my husband and my kids and I know how that goes. And that's a lovely thing. I feel out of place. I don't feel like I know how to be in my family. Mm-hmm. And that's a really odd thing to say. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people feel that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's actually not that odd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, we could talk for a year about all the reasons why. And inside of that, there would be truth and crap. And ultimately, what you just told me is your family, just like mine, is a story of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. I would say if we believe that this is a legitimate battle, that we are in an active battle on a battlefield, if we believe that, and that's what I believe, mm-hmm. I would believe that the opposer, the enemy, we would call him Satan, would think nothing better than to have dissension in your family.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And however it happens, and whatever little seed was planted years ago and whatever has been blossomed or watered. And I think our job actively is to pull that stuff out, because right. the family is, just like you said, it's where all of the stuff flows, whether it's extended, our village, our DNA, our bio, our adopted, like it is where all it's the way that God blesses his people is through mm-hmm. family, through connections, through relationships.
You know, that maybe that is a huge component of the third way, because the world would say, you just carry on. Mm. You just cut them out if you need to. You just carry right on and do your thing. And the church, as you already told us, told you to hide. Mm. Just said, you know what? If you don't, if this doesn't feel right, doesn't look good, you just yeah. hide it. Yeah. And what you're saying is you got to drag it out and for your own good.
And I think as you drag it out, I think too often we're looking at the end goal is this Norman Rockwell picture of us all sitting at Thanksgiving around, you know, a big old fat turkey. And what your job, Allie, to do is to take it to the Lord, and then you take one step at a time. And you may never sit around a big fat turkey with your family, or maybe you will. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think too often we're paralyzed because we think it just seems like too far of a journey. And just take that first step. And that first step may be just you alone mm-hmm. forgiving.
There's plenty of that to go around.
Heck yeah.
IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at @IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.